Yeah, I suppose the partnership working from both organisations is nothing new. I mean, there's been a lot of great work that has happened in the past, but I suppose the official merger and the process came into fruition about 2 years ago. And that was because, essentially, I mean, we're two organisations with one shared mission, and that really is they build a healthier, happier and more connected community. You know, both organisations delivering similar services, and given the volatile nature, particularly of the community and voluntary sector, it made sense they bring the two organisations together. They form one bigger and stronger entity that would survive, I suppose, the current climate and enable sustained high quality service provision for the local people.
And I suppose that it is that idea nearly of power in numbers. But the community is very much at the heart of this, and it's both organisations had that as their core, and that's only strengthened now with the combination of the two.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, ultimately, both organisations are community organisations. You know, we adopt a community development approach, and that means that, you know, that local people and residents are at the forefront of everything we do. You know, so this process, I suppose, you know, ultimately had that in mind, and what we're obviously, you know, looking about doing is to sustain current, you know, models of delivery, but we're also looking at how we can expand programs, bring new services that will obviously have stronger support for families, children, young people and older residents living within this community.
What kind of programs do you offer?
We offer quite a range. Between both organisations originally, we had set strategic priorities. You know, so for example, family support would be core to that. We have a big push on the preventative element around healthy lifestyles, you know, so the promotion of exercise, well-being, good food and nutrition. A lot of the residents living locally, you know, as well are presenting or living with, you know, chronic illness and long-term illness. So a big focus of our work, you know, helps to support that particular cohort of people, you know, so long-term condition management is a real focus. We also deliver quite a length and breadth of services for our older people. We're in the middle of a national lottery funded community project as well that has something on every day of the week for local older residents. And then we also obviously, you know, a big hot topic at the minute is the promotion of positive mental health, you know, so we have a big focus on that alongside a specialist focus around people who are living, you know, with addiction, particularly, you know, addiction in terms of alcohol, you know, drugs, you know, prescription medications, et cetera, et cetera. So we've, you know, it's quite a diverse range of programs and activities, and you know, we're fully backed and supported by such a range of funders that enable us to do this work.
I suppose you come into contact then with a lot, maybe more of the vulnerable people in the community through these programs.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, I suppose. Look, this area is. I mean, if you look at the statistics for the area of which we operate in, you know, they're not great. But the area is vibrant, you know, the people are great, you know, but there is a lot of vulnerability, you know, so we know that, you know, and we try our best to work with those most vulnerable as well as others, you know, to support them as best we can. So I mentioned quite a number of things there, you know, if you think about even the family support element that I talked about, you know, families are struggling, you know, at the minute, whether that be cost of living, fuel prices, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so, you know, the demand on families, the demand on individual family members, you know, that the impact that can have on their physical, mental, social well-being, you know, has increased. You know, so, you know, we would support families and individuals as best we can through that one-day-one kind of support and tailored packages and signposts and et cetera. You know, so, and then obviously, you've got the other end of that where, you know, we've got vulnerable people who are dealing with challenges around addiction, mental health, you know, physical ability, you know. So absolutely, you know, we deal with all of that. And I think we do that in a compassionate and an empathetic way. And people see that and they can trust us, you know, in order to help support them.
With the launch now of Health for Life, is there a top priority that you are combined now and you will have, I suppose, more resources?
Yeah, well, launches on Thursday. Really exciting day ahead. A new chapter for the area, a new chapter for both organisations. And I think it's important they recognise that, but also they remember everyone involved across both organisations who's helped us to get the where we're at today. You know, who's built the foundations and set the standards, and I suppose that's up to us now to carry that forward. But ultimately, you know, we've come out of a recent review in the area of the health needs and the health priorities, and that was backed up by data we've received from the likes of the Public Health Agency and Department for Health and others. So we have a renewed focus now on you know, particular priority areas going forward, driven by the data that we've been given, and that will be our focus as we move forward into the future for Health for Life.